So God's word today, we will turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 30. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day of the Son of Man is revealed. God is the eternal one. God is the eternal one. God is the eternal one. He has no beginning nor no end, for he is eternal and is from everlasting to everlasting. To those who seek eternity and live for the days of one's soul, he gives eternal life. Our faith is to believe this, as is, and our faith life is in order to receive eternal life for my soul. We live for the days of our soul. So while we are here in this world, we live for the days of our soul. And that is what faith life is. Today's sermon title is Live for the Days of My Soul, and it is also the theme of the year 2021 for our church this year, because we preach about and emphasize it, but we tend to forget it all the time. Therefore, we are starting off this year with this message. So people in the world, they live by cultural thoughts. So philosophers, for example, think deeply about what life is, and they know that what the end of life is, which is death. And all they think about is the end of life and that it's the end. But the Bible tells us that surely there is an end to this life. Which means if there is a beginning, there also is an end. If there is an end, that means that there was a beginning. So the Bible tells us of this in Genesis chapter 1, where on the first day God created light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. So we see here that God created time. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning. So began time. But we know that there will come a day where this time will come to an end. Days will pass and time will pass, and this universe will one day come to an end. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, it describes heaven where there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. So there is no time here. When God created this universe, he also created with it time. But when this universe and time is destroyed, then we will enter a place where there is no time. And if you want to enter this eternal life, say amen. In eternity, there is no concept of time, and that applies to God as well. God created this universe with time, and he created man. He created man from the dust of the ground. I want to especially encourage our seniors to listen to this message attentively, since we do not know how much longer we have remaining. And so this is all the more important message. And for me, it is my prayer that I lose not even one of the souls that he has given me, and to save each and every single soul, whether youth or elder, to save all the souls that he has given me. So this sermon today, Live for the Days of My Soul, is the result of much contemplation and prayer about what message to preach to souls opening up this year of 2021. So God, he created man in his image from the dust of the ground. In this universe, there is time, and it is what limits man. Therefore, all men have a day of birth, and the moment they die, when their breath comes to an end, they will return to the dust. One day our flesh will die and return to dust and disappear. This flesh will disappear. However, into man, into Adam, he breathed the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So God breathed his breath of life, and the man became a living being, which is composed of flesh and spirit. So God created man, and into him he breathed his breath of life, and the man became a living being. The dust returns to the ground. The flesh, which is made from dust, returns to the ground, and the spirit will return to God. So the spirit that is in the flesh, it will return to God, and it must return to God. This is the living being. And through the Bible, we are to understand that men are composed of two beings: the flesh that will return to dust and disappear, and the spirit that will live eternally. So I, the soul, and my flesh. I, the soul, my flesh. I, the soul, my flesh. You repeat after me, but after Lord's Day, you go out into the world and live for your flesh, and don't live for your soul, the true you. Rather, you abuse and suffocate your soul. And you do that to your own soul. So starting from the beginning, we have to know who we truly are. That the true me is not the flesh, but the true me is the spirit. The true you is the spirit, and it's invisible. One day, the spirit will resurrect with a spiritual body, either to life to go to heaven, or to hell for eternal punishments. So the moment you were born, the moment you came out of the womb, these have been decided. So which will you choose? Will you choose to go to heaven to enter eternal life, or do you choose to die to go to hell for eternal punishment? Which will you choose? You ought to choose life. When you die, you ought to resurrect to life and enter eternal life. That's why we're here. So you see, we have all the blinds down, so that people outside can't see what's happening. And the reason we're giving worship like this, even taking on such risks, is because the true you is a soul that needs to resurrect to life. So the moment when one wakes, they go to the mirror. They go to the mirror and may say that they need to wash their face and to tidy up, to prepare for the rest of the day. But what one should be saying is, I, the spirit, my flesh. The reflected image in the mirror is your flesh, but the reflected image from the Bible is your spirit. The reflected image in the mirror is your flesh. The image caught on camera is your flesh, but the reflected image from the Bible is your spirit. Amen. Our ancestor Adam disobeyed God by eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he had commanded not to eat. Therefore, sin entered him, and all mankind has inherited this sin. And because all mankind is descended from Adam, they have inherited the sin and were bound to hell with him. Men were born bound to hell with the price of sin, which is death. They were destined to go to hell. The Bible is the truth, and God is living. So you ought to believe that the true me is a spirit. And in order to save ourselves from eternal condemnation in hell, we ought to use the time in the flesh to do so. That we ought to use this time, for God has given us this opportunity in the flesh to be saved from hell. Why do we live this life? For what do we live this life? The Bible tells us that this is an opportunity for us in the flesh to be saved from the fires of hell. So we have heard this gospel and we are here. Amen. Hallelujah. The man who lived the longest, who was the longest lived as recorded in the Bible, was Methuselah, who lived a total of 969 years. Almost 1,000 years he lived. That's a long time. And in Genesis chapter 5, 27, it says, he became the father of Lamech. And he had other sons and daughters. And it says Methuselah lived a total of 969 years and then he died. So you may say how lucky he is to have lived that long. You may think that he's a lucky man. But there was another man who was no more at the age of 365 years. So, and his name was Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 23 to 24, it says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. And then it says, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So in the eyes of the world, it may seem that he was short-lived, but here it says that he was taken away for he was commended for pleasing God. That he did not experience death, and he was commended as one who pleased God. However, material cannot go to heaven, only spirit. So it's only his spirit that was taken up. So we are not to misunderstand the verse where it says that he did not experience death. So it was only his spirit that was taken up. So even though he was short-lived, he lived a meaningful life. And Methuselah lived long, but was his life meaningful? So Enoch was commended as one who pleased God, and he was also recognized as such by the people, and so this was a meaningful life that he lived. So by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, and so he was recognized as one with faith, and he pleased God. And it's recorded here. So it's not just how we view ourselves or how others view us, but more importantly, how God views us and whether God will acknowledge us. And we see that Enoch so pleased God that he was taken up to heaven without experiencing death. What a lucky man. Amen. And another lucky man mentioned in the Bible was Solomon. With the materials that his father David prepared, he built the Temple of Jerusalem. And he lived a good life, a life in peace. However, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which starts off with, meaningless, meaningless, and says the teacher, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? So what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? So whether one is successful in their career, it is all meaningless and all in vain. If one knows that he is a soul, then he must live for his soul. That if he truly knows that the true me is a soul, then he must live for his soul. So the Israelites had hope in the temple that Solomon built, in that they would regain their sovereignty and that their nation would be restored. So they lived around the temple, and the temple was their strength, their pride, and their hope that God would save their nation, restore their nation. So it had such significant importance to them. And they lived holding on to this hope. However, before this very temple, Jesus Christ appeared and said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." This was so outrageous to the Israelites, and they were so enraged by what Jesus said. For the temple of Jerusalem was built by Solomon with the materials prepared by King David, and they put their hope in this temple, that their fate, their destiny was tied to this temple. However, Jesus was here telling them to destroy this temple and that he would raise it again in 3 days. And so they hated Jesus and they wanted to put him to death. However, Jesus was referring to the temple of his body. And what he meant was that all the toil for the flesh and the physical materials used to build the temple was all in vain, that it was all meaningless, for it had no benefit to the soul. But now it would be the new temple that would be beneficial to those who put effort to live for their souls. Those who live for the days of their soul. So work for the flesh would be all in vain. Toil for the soul, however, is beneficial. The one who lives for the day of his soul is not in vain. And this is what Jesus meant. And in the parable of the rich man, It says in Luke, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. So he said, take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So this doesn't mean that God dislikes rich people. The rich man toils and puts efforts to be so. That's not the problem here. But the problem here is that he did nothing and stored up nothing for his soul. So that is why God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. So what God wants from us is to store up for our soul and to live for the days of our soul. So the Son of Man came into this world, but he is now seated on the throne in heaven as the Lamb of God. When Jesus came into this world, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man. 82 times he referred to himself as Son of Man. And this is what Jesus Christ called himself. He referred to himself as the Son of Man. The disciples did not call him Son of Man. Rather, this is what he referred to himself as. The Son of Man came into this world. The Son of Man died and now sits on the throne in heaven as the Lamb of God. Now in heaven, he is the Lamb of God who sits on the throne. The one who sits on the throne. So in heaven, he is no longer called the Son of Man. It says twice in Revelations, one like the Son of Man. One like the Son of Man. This is mentioned twice in Revelation. Who came in the flesh. So the one like the Son of Man who came in the flesh and lived like man, but now he has ascended to heaven and is no longer the man that was in the universe, but he sits enthroned in heaven. So the day of the Son of Man is when God sent the Son of God to the universe to fulfill his mission in the flesh. So when God came in the flesh to do his work, he called himself the Son of Man. So this is referred to as the days of the Son of Man. When the Son of God came in the flesh, he referred to himself as the Son of Man, meaning that the days of the Son of Man himself is time. That is, he came into time since God himself doesn't experience time. So just like a timer that ticks, he came into this world limited by the passage of time and lived here temporarily in time, within time, in this passage of time. However, in heaven, there is no such thing as time. So he sits on the throne, not bound by time. So he is no longer called the Son of Man in heaven because he is no longer bound by time. He is the one who sits on the throne in heaven. The one who sits on the throne in heaven. Amen. The Son of Man came into the world to do the will of the Father. And the Son of Man came not to be served, but to be a ransom for many. Thus, he is called the Son of Man when he came to do this work in the flesh. And the time he spent in this universe in the flesh is called the days of the Son of Man. In Luke chapter 13, the disciples didn't want him to go to Jerusalem, for they knew death awaited him there. But Jesus told them that all this must happen. He said, today and tomorrow and on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. So the Son of Man is time, and he came to do this work in the flesh because he has a goal to achieve, a mission to fulfill while he is here in this world during the days of the Son of Man. That is why he said he must press on the way of the cross to be put to death according to the Father's will. So he was captured and he was afflicted, he was flogged, he suffered and he was spat on and he was mocked and he was crucified and died on the cross. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." What did he finish? What he finished was the work he came to do in the flesh. He finished the work he came to do in the days of the Son of Man, to die in mankind's stead, to be spat on, tortured, to be crucified, put to death. He completed all the work he came to do in the flesh, and therefore he said, "It is finished." And boldly he proclaimed, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." For he finished the work he came to do as the Son of Man. And so he committed his spirit to the Father, and he said this boldly. And he entered a place where there is no more night, no more pain, no more tears, no more sadness and toil. So no more tears, no more night, no more pain, no more sadness, no more toil is where he entered. And the Father accepted his spirit. And as he finished his work in the days of the Son of Man, with his death also, he condemned the devil who left his proper position and dwelling place. And with his shed blood, the redeeming blood, he sprinkled into the souls of mankind. And to those who receive his blood, those whose sins are cleansed, now can live for the days of his soul. And after he finished this work, he ascended to heaven and now sits enthroned in heaven as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God bearing the marks of being slain. So he bears all the marks he received while he was here in the flesh as the Son of Man. Now he sits on the throne, reigning over all creation. And from there, he sent the Holy Spirit. And those who receive the Holy Spirit are those who believe in the name of Jesus, who believe in the name of Yeshua, and those whose souls have come alive by receiving his blood, and those who have been cleansed and became holy in his blood. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, He helps and reminds one every moment and every second that you are a soul. So I, the soul, I, the spirit, my flesh. 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 The Holy Spirit constantly reminds us that you are not the flesh and the true you is the soul and helps you to live for the days of your soul. This is what the Holy Spirit does in us. He helps us live for the days of my soul. Just like the Son of Man lived for the days of the Son of Man, the Holy Spirit helps I, the soul, to live for the days of my soul. Say amen if you want to go to paradise today, if you die. So, to people of this world, death is a very sad thing. But great things await believers in heaven. The Holy Spirit came from the Father. The Holy Spirit came from the Father in heaven. So he bears his joy and comes into our spirit so that we can taste heaven. Have you gotten a taste of heaven? So if we recognize this, then we need to live for the days of our souls. If you are still alive, then we still have this time to live for our souls. Just like how soldiers go into the military and are trained to live for their nation, they are trained to protect their nation, to defend their nation. And if I, the spirit, is still here in the flesh, then I ought to live these times for my soul. Live for the days of my soul. And God gave us this opportunity to do so. Do you truly do so? Amen? When Jesus came as man in the flesh, he experienced the same limitations in the flesh. But when he got baptized and started his public ministry, he lived his days of the Son of Man and completed his work that he came to do. Then he ascended to heaven, and God sent the Holy Spirit to believers who believe in Jesus, whom God gathers in the church. So God gathers the believers in the church. The church is the very place where we can live for the days of our soul. This is where we can live for the days of our soul. So the workplace is where we live for our flesh, but the church is where we can give worship and can live for the days of our souls. So worship is service that we offer up to Him. And the reason we have to give worship here in church is because this is the very place for my soul. And we also have to fulfill our positions in the church, for this is work for my soul. Amen. So everything that we do, gathering and praying and obeying in the church, is for our souls. And so what is pastoring? So Rick Warren is a pastor of Saddleback Church in California. And it is a mega church. And he mentioned in one of his sermons that giving worship gathered together during this time of the pandemic goes against Christian values. And he says that it is unbiblical to ignore social distancing guidelines, saying that since God is love, so Christians also exude this love, so we ought to love our neighbors by not spreading the disease. Do you agree? Do you want to go to a church like this? Do you think he truly knows Jesus? Do you think he truly knows the Bible and knows the days of the Son of Man? Just like the Son of Man did, we must also live for the days of our souls. But here, this pastor is enforcing online worship instead. This is satanic, saying that this is love. This is the work of the Antichrist, and this is satanic. The church is the place where my soul should be, and what we do in church is give service, give worship. Amen? So coming to church to give worship, from praying to hymnal to praise, to listening to the word, is living for the days of our souls. Is it hard? Is this hard? I heard from many of you how difficult it was to give worship virtually at home for those 2 months. I've heard from many that it was just so difficult. Why was it so difficult? It's because we realize how much we yearn to gather in the church, because we are souls. That we are not only the flesh, but we are the spirit. We are the soul. So therefore, on the Lord's Day, we gather in the church and do work, which is giving worship, serving, fulfilling our duties. This is all work that has been given to us, the souls, to live for the days of our souls. And the pastor is the one who gathers and allocates this work so that you, the souls, can live. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." It says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." We can relate to this Bible verse so much, especially these days. At the time of the early church, the believers gathered to pray despite the dangers and the risks involved. And you may not realize it, but we are taking great risks to provide worship. But it is because I realize we must live these days for our souls. And we ought to do for Jesus in the church. Live for our souls. Amen. Thus, the work of the pastor is to take the time and the talents you use in the world and reinvest it for the church, in the church. Do you complain that it's always so busy here and there's always so much church work? Are you resentful of the pastor? Recently, a member came to me and said that she no longer could keep up with the church schedule. Doing church work is living for the days of your soul. And think about it. How many days do you work out in the world compared to the time invested for your soul in the church? So how many days in a week? A day? A few hours? 1 hour? Not even? For the flesh, you wake up early in the morning. You commute back and forth from work and spend most hours of your day doing work for the flesh. That you live putting in so much effort for the flesh. But not many complain about that because it's a means to bring food to the table and support your family. No one complains about that. But as we read in the Bible, it's all meaningless and in vain. For what good is it if you gain the world but forfeit your soul, and are cast outside where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth? Can you live with that? You spend so many hours for your flesh, but you don't pray for your soul? This is abusing your soul. It is suffocating your soul. If you can't even pray for an hour, not even for 10 minutes, how do you expect to gain eternal life? You ought to live for the days of your souls so that you can enter into eternal life. As we read in the opening passage, it says, and just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage. So people were eating, drinking, marrying, buying, selling. What sin is that? But the Bible tells us here that these people were destroyed. They were all destroyed. So what's so wrong with that? For it's absolutely a normal way of life. But it records here in the Bible that they were all destroyed either by the flood or by the fire. So on the day the Son of Man is revealed, what will he find? Do you believe that our Lord Jesus Christ will return? Say amen. Say amen if you believe that he will return soon. There isn't much time remaining. We have not much time left, so we need to be on our feet and running, for the Son of Man will return like a thief in the night. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. So if you believe in Jesus and you believe in the Bible, say amen. You cannot just say you believe in Jesus but not the Bible, but you also must believe in the Bible and what it says in the Bible. So a Christian is he who does not lose the opportunity to live for his soul. That is who a Christian is. So first, you must live for the salvation of your soul. Amen. To live for the salvation of your soul. This salvation is not the prosperity gospel. It's not being saved from poverty or being saved from personal problems or worldly things. But our conservative Christian faith is that the salvation of our souls. It's for our souls to be saved from the fires of hell. And this is what we live for. Every day we have to run opposite the direction of hell. Do you believe that? I, the soul, must be saved, or else it is the fire of hell. Like Lot fled from the city of Sodom, they were to run towards a new town. But on the way, his wife looked back. And she was destroyed. She turned into a pillar of salt. So anyone who does not believe in Jesus will end up in hell. And also anyone who believes in Jesus but looks back will experience the same result. Therefore, we ought not to stop nor look back, but keep on running forward for the salvation of our soul. To keep on running forward for the salvation of our souls. Second, he has given us the opportunity to repent, which is to turn back and transform and sanctify oneself from fleshly thoughts that lead to death. Instead, we need to put that to death and live not gratifying the desires of our flesh, but live according to the desires of the Spirit. Amen. Therefore, we have to change and be sanctified. And for that, we have to cut off all evil and wicked ways. Repentance is the opportunity to do that while we are still in the flesh. Third, the days are limited. The days are limited, and we have to value the time we have been given. So God desires from us this time to be spent well for our souls. Not for the flesh, but for our souls. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't work. The Bible does state that we must earn our own living. So we must do that. We must earn our own daily bread, our own living. But there is a limit, which is our daily bread. So it is for daily bread that we work. It's not for the future of your children or sending them off to college or for tomorrow's daily bread or for next year's daily bread, but it is just for daily bread that you live for. If not, it is all in vain. You must be fully content in earning just your daily bread and living this day. Also, fourth, do not put things off for tomorrow, for you do not know if tomorrow will come, since tomorrow is not yours, for he can take your soul this very night. So you do the work this day, you finish this work this day, and then you can make a confession to God to please accept your spirit before you go to bed. So every day you ought not to be the wicked and lazy servant, but be diligent with the work that you have been given. So those who procrastinate and put things off for tomorrow are the wicked and lazy servant mentioned in the Bible. So when I see people who say they believe in Jesus, but they don't pray, I wonder how that's possible and wonder if their souls will be accepted. Who is God? God is everlasting to everlasting, and he is eternal, while we are limited by time. Therefore, with this limited time we have in the flesh, like Jesus never ceased praying, neither should we. We must not cease in praying. It is a sin to not pray. So how can you not pray? Don't you need help from God? Such as not falling ill to the coronavirus or suffering an accident on the way to work? There's just so many things to pray about. But more importantly, there are so many things to pray about, like our church, the kingdom of Christ, the pastor and our leaders and our members. There are just so many things to pray about. The wicked and lazy servant that just spends time idly is not going to inherit his kingdom, and his spirit will not be accepted. And I even worry if I am doing enough, even though I pray every day and do all this for him. I wonder if the Lord will be pleased. And fifth, while we are in the flesh, we have to mature spiritually so that we can be the good wheat and not the chaff. The chaff is empty inside and will be blown away by the wind. It says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. So we must be the good grain. We must be the wheat. For on that day, he will separate the wheat from the chaff, and the chaff will be burnt up in unquenchable fire. And those who live their days in vain for the flesh, they will be like the chaff that will fly away in the wind. So there is a notable figure who truly lived for the days of his soul. In the New Testament, Stephen, who at a young age, likely in his 20s, received much grace and was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, that he preached the gospel and he endured persecution and was stoned to death. And as he died, he asked for Jesus to accept his spirit, and not only was he accepted, but Jesus appeared and was likely applauding for the way he lived for his soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, Apostle Paul endured much hardship for his faith, for the gospel. He was persecuted, he was shipwrecked, and he suffered days in the open sea, and much more. He endured all this for the gospel, and he died. Where do you think his soul is? Where do you think he is? Where do you think he is? In paradise now. But when the Lord returns, he will be seated on the throne next to the Lord in heaven. So these are accounts of men who knew they are souls, and while in their flesh, they live for the days of their souls, and God will remember them forever and ever and will reward such men of faith. The new year of 2021, in many churches, many preach about blessing and prosperity as the first sermon message. It's all about blessings and blessings. However, if you are one who is truly blessed, then you must adopt the way of Jesus Christ, who lived during the days of the Son of Man, and you must take this time to live for the days of your soul, to live for the days of my soul. And I encourage you all to live for the days of your soul. You mustn't end up like those who have been coming to church for years, but eventually leave, saying that their children don't want them to come here anymore. And there were, in fact, people like that here. If you recognize that you are a soul, then you must spend the rest of your life living for the days of your soul and never turn back. So we have to continue to live for the days of our souls. Amen. Amen. I, the soul, awake. I, the soul, awake. I will live for the days of my soul. Is this your resolve? If not, you must make that your resolve and live for the days of your soul. For not much time is remaining. Since my 40s, when I came to know who Jesus was and I came to know the truth, my only regret is that I wish to have known him earlier, so I have more days to live for my soul. I had been going to church before that, but no one told me to live for my soul. However, for us, the church, now, we know that we are souls. And if you know that you are a soul, then we will live the days of our lives for our soul. Let us pray.